Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, we'll discover the wise way for a Christian to live.
Let me tell you how foolish we are today and how we think we're so wise and we are so unwise. We can't even tell the difference today between a boy and a girl. That's how wise we are. And to think that we live in a world today where people are actually fighting for the right for a man to use a woman's restroom and a woman's dressing facility, that's just idiotic and that's just insane. But those are the times in which we live. So how is a Christian to live in these times?
Welcome to From His Heart, as we begin a timely series from Pastor Jeff Shreve entitled, For Such a Time as This. Thank you for joining us as we begin a new month and a powerful teaching that'll show you how to overcome the darkness by living in the light. We're living in dark days indeed, and we need to know from Scripture how God would have us to stand in these trying times. Actually, how He would have us to stand and deliver. And that's the title of the lesson today that you're about to hear. And as we move through these lessons and you'd like to listen again or share it with a friend, you can go to fromhisheart.org, click the radio tab. Now, though, open your Bible to the book of Esther. Here's Pastor Jeff, who will stand and deliver a timely and wise message for such a time as this.
If you have your Bible, please turn to Esther chapter 4. Esther chapter 4. We're kicking off a new series today. We're calling this series For Such a Time as This. From the verse from Esther chapter 4, our subtitle is How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light. Some of you may remember a song that came out in 1964. I was born in 1962, so I didn't know my music in 1964, but there was a song that came out by Bob Dylan. Anybody in here like Bob Dylan? You know, you can sing like Bob Dylan if you just hold your nose. You know, he has a unique sound. But the song was titled, The Times They Are A-Changin'. It starts off and it says this, Come gather round people wherever you roam and admit that the waters around you have grown and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone for the times they are a-changing. That was back in 1964. Think how much the times they are a-changing today. I mean, we're at warp speed for the changes that are taking place in our world. And the moral revolution that has taken place in our world just in the last few years has caused our heads to spin. The scripture says in the book of Isaiah, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And we live in a world today where we call evil good and we call good evil. And we have said to God, God, we don't want you in our public square. We don't want your will, your word, your ways. We're living in Romans chapter 1. You know, Romans chapter 1 says that for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For even though they knew God, and we know about God, it's common to all because God made it evident within us, our conscience, and outside of us, creation. Even though men knew God, they didn't honor him as God or give him thanks. And the Bible says that their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. That's our world today, where we have people who profess to be so wise and they're so foolish. When it says that in Romans 1:22, professing to be wise, they have become fools. The word fools is the Greek word from which we get our English word morons. Professing to be wise, we are hearing from morons, moral midgets and people who are so foolish. Let me tell you how foolish we are today and how these times they are a-changing and how we think we're so wise and we are so unwise. We can't even tell the difference today between a boy and a girl. That's how wise we are. We don't know how many genders are there. Well, Facebook says, I think there's 60 or 70 genders that you can figure out on Facebook. Hey, there are two, they're male and female. It's not complicated, but these times, they are a-changing. And to think that we live in a world today where people are actually fighting for the right for a man to use a woman's restroom and a woman's dressing facility, that's just idiotic and that's just insane. But those are the times in which we live. So how is a Christian to live in these times? How do we overcome the darkness? We do it through living in the light and walking in the light. And we live in such a time as this. And these are dark days, but God has a plan for his children. As we've talked about in our church for years, God's plan is for us to shine and for us to share. Now, the person who exemplifies for such a time as this is obviously the young girl, the young queen Esther, queen in Persia. If you know her story is fascinating. And the book of Esther is so fascinating. You know, it's a book that never mentions the name of God, yet God is all over it. But it never mentions God, but it shows how God, the unseen hand of God, and how God is working through situations and through circumstances, and how God can take what looks like certain disaster and turn it around for good and for his glory. Esther was an orphan. She was raised by her cousin, her older cousin, who really became her foster father. His name was Mordecai. Esther's name, her Hebrew name, was Hadassah. But they called her Esther because that's the Persian word for star, and she was given that name. And if you know the story of Esther, the king, his name was Xerxes. He was king in Persia in 486 BC to 465 BC for those 21 years. And he was some kind of king. And man, his kingdom was huge. He came after Babylon. You know, Babylon was the big world power. First it was Assyria, then it was Babylon. And then after Babylon came the Medo-Persian Empire, with Persia really the fat cats. You say, where's Persia today? Persia today is Iran. And he had his palace, this King Xerxes, he had his palace there in Iran, in Susa. That was the capital city. And he was some kind of a conqueror. And he had a wife, Queen Vashti. And Vashti didn't do what she was supposed to do when Xerxes had a big party. So he said, well, I'm getting rid of you, Queen Vashti. You're not queen anymore. And they dumped her. And then he said, we're going to have just the 400 BC's version of The Bachelor. And so he said that he had all these women come. It's like a Cinderella story. He had all these women that came to him, and he was going to pick the one. Will you take this rose? Well, Esther is the one, by God's providence, that she is selected as queen. And Mordecai, the Jew, her foster father, her older cousin, he says, don't tell anybody that you're a Jew. And so she didn't. As the story unfolds, you have this character. His name was Haman. Haman rises up to the number two position next to the king. And Haman is an egotist. And Haman is a person who hates the Jews. Haman is a descendant of King Agag. King Agag was king of the Amalekites during the reign of Saul, king of Israel. And God told Saul to wipe out the Amalekites, 1 Samuel chapter 15, and Saul didn't do it. He wiped out many of them, but he didn't wipe out the king and the choice people of the city. And so he lost his kingdom because of that. God says, you're not going to obey me. Well, you can't be king anymore. And they brought out, and as you read the story in 1 Samuel chapter 15, they bring out Agag, And he says, surely the threat of death is past. And Samuel, the prophet, pulls out a sword and he hacks Agag to pieces at Gilgal in the presence of the Lord. Well, Haman, in the book of Esther, is a relative, a descendant of Agag. He's called an Agagite, a descendant of Agag. He knew his family history, and he knew what Samuel and the Jews had done to his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. And he hated the Jews, and he hated Mordecai the Jew because Mordecai the Jew wouldn't bow down to him. And so Haman comes up with a plan and a plot, and he dupes King Xerxes to sign off on it. And the plan and the plot is to annihilate and exterminate the Jews. He cast lots for the date on which this would take place. And the lot is called Pur, P-U-R. And so on Pur, which was going to be the 12th month, and on the 14th day of the month, that was the day that they were going to exterminate the Jews. There were some 15 million living in the empire of Persia. So that's kind of the backdrop to this story. Esther chapter 4, Mordecai hears of this. He sees the decree and he begins to weep and he tears his clothes and he puts on sackcloth and he is in mourning. In verse 6, he is communicating to his niece, Esther, but he has to do it through a third party because he just can't go over to see her. And so they have this go-between. And it says in verse 6, so Hathach went out to Mordecai to the city square in front of the king's gate. Esther sent him to find out, why is Mordecai in sackcloth and ashes? And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the exact amount of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasurers for the destruction of the Jews. Haman said, we will get 10,000 talents of silver, king, if we do this. And so the king said, all right, let's do it. That was about 2/3 of all the money that would come in a given year. So, man, 10,000 talents, it's a lot. And it says in verse 8, he also gave him a copy of the text of the edict which had been issued in Susa for their destruction, that he might show Esther and inform her and to order her to go into the king to implore his favor and to plead with him for her people. And Hathach came back and related Mordecai's words to Esther. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and ordered him to reply to Mordecai. All the king's servants and all the people of the king's provinces know that for any man or woman who comes to the king, to the inner court, who is not summoned, he has but one law, that he be put to death, unless the king holds out to him the golden scepter so that he may live. And I have not been summoned to the king to come to the king these 30 days. I hadn't seen him for 30 days. I mean, he's got one queen, but lots of girlfriends. And so she hadn't been called for 30 days. And they related Esther's words to Mordecai. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. And you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. Esther was living in dark days. You talk about being elated, hey, I'm the queen, and now all of a sudden she finds out, hey, my people are gonna be destroyed and I'm gonna be destroyed too. And you go from the penthouse to the outhouse just like that emotionally. She was living in dark days just like you and I are facing dark days. And the Lord told us that in the last days, difficult times will come, dangerous times, perilous times, hard times are going to come. So what does God want us to do in these days in which we live? Let me share with you very quickly three directives from the Lord. Directive number one, God wants us to be aware of the times.
What an encouraging truth to know that God has a plan for us to not only survive in dark times, but to thrive. Pastor Jeff will be back on From His Heart in just a moment to continue to explore this lesson called Stand and Deliver. So stay with us. This is the first one in Pastor Jeff's timely 9-message series this month on radio called For Such a Time as This, How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light. We'll be airing this series for the rest of the month. And make no mistake about it, we are living in dark times. But God has a plan for His children. So how is a Christian to live in these times? And as I said, we'll be exploring that all month long, but this series is also our special gift of thanks to you this month for your financial support to From His Heart. This series is an incredible, informative, and motivating teaching. Your gifts make it possible to be on this station and hundreds of others around the country each and every day. Thank you so much for helping us. Now, to get For Such a Time as This, How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light, on CD, MP3 download, or on a USB flash drive, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org. We need to realize how dark these days really are, and getting darker. God put us here to shine and share for such a time as this. So call 866-40-BIBLE or go to fromhisheart.org to make your gift. Now let's get back to the lesson, Stand and Deliver. Here again is Pastor Jeff Shreve.
God wants us to be aware of the times. Aware of the times. Esther was educated by her foster father, Mordecai, by her older cousin, Mordecai, and she was aware of what was going to happen, and this was going to happen in a few months because he cast the lots, and the lots said the 12th month on the 14th day of the month, that is going to be extermination day for the Jews, and we're going to kill them, and we're going to take all their stuff, and then we're going to put that in the king's treasury. That was the plan, and she heard the plan. Now, the question comes in, we know from reading the story of Esther that Haman didn't like the fact that Mordecai the Jew didn't bow down to him. Everybody else bowed down to Haman because he was number two man in the huge kingdom of Persia. Xerxes had elevated him to the number two position. So you better bow down to me, but Mordecai wouldn't bow down. They asked Mordecai, why do you not bow down? He said, because I'm a Jew. And we Jews don't bow down, just like Daniel and his friends didn't bow down, or I said Daniel wasn't there, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3, they didn't bow down to the image because we don't do that. We worship God and him alone. And so Haman wouldn't bow, or Mordecai wouldn't bow down to Haman. That made Haman so mad. And so we're going to destroy all of them. Now, that wasn't just coming out of Haman. That was hatched in the heart of the devil. And the devil moved on Haman, and the devil got Haman to trick the king and to sign the edict and the decree that all the Jews should be killed. Hey, you mark it down. The devil is working to destroy God's ways and God's people. He's working today to do that. He prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The Apostle Paul, on his first missionary journey, he encountered opposition on the island of Cyprus, and the opposition was from Sergius Paulus, right-hand man who was Elymas, called Bar-Jesus. He had a couple of different names there. But he was trying to dissuade his master, Sergius Paulus, from listening to the message that Paul was delivering. And Paul looked at that guy and he said these words, "You who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord?" That is exactly what the devil does. He does not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord. He works overtime to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord. And he is at work today to destroy God's will, God's way, God's word in our land, and to destroy God's people in the process. But here's the thing, let's bring it to a more pointed conclusion. The devil is not just working to destroy God's word and God's ways and God's people. He's working to destroy you and your family. The devil wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. See, the devil hates God, but the devil can't get at God. But wicked people have always known that if you can't get at the one you hate, get at the people he loves. And if you can hurt the people he loves, you hurt him in a deeper way. If somebody wanted to really hurt me, if they hurt my children, they would hurt me more than if they just came directly at me. And so the devil is wanting to destroy the people of God. He's wanting to destroy you and to destroy me and to destroy my family and to destroy your family. Mordecai told Esther, verse 13, "Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews." This, you're going to be affected. Now, listen, in Texarkana, we can kind of feel like we're in a bubble. We're kind of protected. We read about things that are happening in other states, things that are happening in Oregon, where a baker who wouldn't bake a cake for a homosexual wedding, they lost their business. We can read about a chapel in Idaho, the wedding chapel that said, hey, we're not going to do weddings for homosexual marriages, and they get in all hot water and get sued and all those things. We read about that stuff, and we say, well, surely that's not going to happen here because we're isolated. Hey, don't imagine it's not going to happen here. Because it will come in like a flood. We need to know about the times. We need to be aware of the times. Secondly, God wants us to be wholeheartedly seeking Him. Esther took verse 14 to heart, where he says, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. And she listened to those words and she said, why am I in this position? I'm in this position because God put me here. It's not because I was the most beautiful and it was just, of course he's going to choose me. I mean, he's choosing among thousands. God placed her in that position. She attained royalty for such a time as this, and she realized that, and she knew what she had to do. And she said in verse 16, go assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day, and I and my maidens will also fast in the same way, and I will go into the king. She needed God to help her. She couldn't do this by herself. She knew what she had to do, but she said, hey, you need to fast for 3 days. Get everybody to fast for me. I and my maidens are going to fast. Now notice, it doesn't say anything about prayer because it doesn't say anything about God in the whole book. But nobody ever fasts without praying. There's no point in fasting unless you're praying. The pagan Ninevites, when Jonah was sent to Nineveh, what did they do when they heard his message? Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. The king of Nineveh, he heard about it. God's going to destroy us. And he called everybody to put on sackcloth and ashes and fast and pray, repent of sin, and call upon God for mercy. So fasting and prayer, they always go hand in hand. And so here is Esther, and she's saying, you need to fast and pray for me. And we're going to fast and pray, and we're going to seek the Lord with all our hearts. Hey, in these last days in which we live, these dark days in which we live, you and I cannot be spiritually lukewarm and half-hearted. We've had that in the church for a long time, spiritually lukewarm and half-hearted. And we think, well, it's no big deal. It's a huge deal. God hates it when we're lukewarm. The church at Laodicea, the last letter in Revelation chapter 3 that the Lord delivers to the church is he delivers the last letter to the church at Laodicea. Some say that shows that right before his coming, the church is going to be lukewarm. And the Lord says, I wish you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. Literally, I will vomit you out of my mouth. You make me sick because you're so spiritually lukewarm. God doesn't want us to be like that. He wants us to be hot. He wants us to be on fire. He wants us to be seeking the Lord with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength and all our mind to love Him.
Let's pause right there for now, and we'll continue with part two of this all-important lesson called Stand and Deliver tomorrow with Pastor Jeff. It's the first in his series, For Such a Time as This, How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light. And you'll want to be sure to join us each day this month as we move through this timely 9-message series. Hey, you may know someone, or many people, who are going through dark times. The world has just been smacked down with COVID, of course, and it's really hurting so many people. You can get a copy of this series, For Such a Time as This, when you make your gift this month of any amount to From His Heart. Call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE. It's available on CD, on a USB flash drive, or as an MP3 download. Help others and yourself overcome the darkness by living in the light. Get yours today. Thank you, too, for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, trusting you'll be here tomorrow for part two of the lesson, Stand and Deliver. That's next time, when Pastor Jeff will speak the truth in love for such a time as this. Right here on From His Heart. There is truth, there is love, there is hope that you won't. His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.